This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Parents send their kids down here to South Florida to get well, not to die.
After more than a decade, Delray Beach is still known as the drug recovery capital of America.
I mean, if you don't want to get sober, it's a great place to not get sober. If you want to get sober, it's an even better place, you know?
However, 10 years ago, the city's mayor didn't even want to talk about the problem.
You know what? I'm going to just not comment on that. I've been contacted by a bunch of reporters, and it just never turns out well.
But now the city is in crisis, and its current mayor, along with the state attorney, are sounding the alarm.
It is the Wild West. It is completely unregulated.
All that and more coming up on episode 111 of The Rotunda.
That's an overdose.
In Palm Beach County, Florida, 4,600 drug overdoses last year alone. The number quadrupled in 4 years. In 90 minutes, we witnessed two more.
Cynthia McFadden of NBC News is reporting on an epidemic that Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg is fighting to clean up.
This is the number one criminal justice issue facing Florida. It is the number one public health crisis facing our state as well.
In May, Governor Rick Scott officially declared Florida's opioid crisis a state of emergency. But this problem has been brewing for more than a decade. In fact, newspapers like The Guardian and The New York Times first published stories dubbing Delray Beach as the recovery capital of America.
I'm not sure who was in these chairs in 2007 when the Times kind of tagged this city with the recovery capital of the U.S., but in no uncertain terms, we are not going to sit idly and let that let that reputation last one day longer.
That's Delray Beach's current mayor, Carrie Glickstein, speaking at a city commission meeting back in April. Glickstein was also featured in the same recent NBC News report by Cynthia McFadden.
These so-called sober homes are often anything but.
Many times they're supervised by convicted felons, people that are trafficking drugs while they're supposed to be supervising kids in recovery.
Again, about 10 years ago, soon after the Times story, I was on assignment in Palm Beach County, filing stories for Florida Public Radio and NPR. I decided to spend a few days in Delray to investigate. I recall visiting the police station, and after multiple failed attempts to schedule interviews with city officials, I showed up at a city commission meeting and was turned down, left and right. But I kept at it, going deeper into the community. Anyway, after seeing this renewed national focus on Delray Beach, I mentioned to State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg while he was in Tallahassee that I previously reported on the issue years ago. He wanted to listen to the reports. I couldn't find them at the time until Megyn Kelly's program aired. Dave flashed on the screen and I started looking through my external hard drives. And guess what? Here they are. Part one of my two-part series. Nestled in the southeast corner of Palm Beach County on the Atlantic seashore, the city of Delray Beach is known as a village by the sea. Many flock to the area for its posh, touristy sites, festivals, and beautiful beaches. But the city has attracted a title that even its mayor, Rita Ellis, doesn't want to talk about.
You know what? I'm going to just not comment on that. I've been contacted by a bunch of reporters, and it just never turns out well.
Delray Beach is known as the drug addictions recovery capital of America, and Mayor Ellis worries about the bad press the city's attracted for becoming a magnet for junkies and drunks. It's early morning, and I'm at the Delray Inn, a little motel less than a block from Atlantic Avenue.
We're about to try to get this guy to leave his room. He's an hour past checkout. He's just being problematic. Brenda! What's the matter? Well, what's going on?
He won't get out.
He won't get out.
Harold Jonas is the owner of the motel.
What are you doing in here?
The room is completely trashed. The bed is out of place. Sheets are on the wet floor spotted with ashes from cigarettes and an oversized liquor bottle turned on its side with only about a mouthful remaining.
So come on, don't sit down and get comfortable. We have to leave now. Come on. I'll help you walk. It's all right. If you're safe, nobody's going to hurt you.
I just want to have a cigarette.
Yeah, outside.
I already got
I know you're It's all right. But you don't come back in the room and hassle the housekeeper, will you?
The man being kicked out is disoriented, with a big black eye as if he'd gotten into a fight the night before. His name is Ramon. The paramedics were already here once for the morning. The police came about four times.
Just get what you need so you can take off. Okay, now. I don't have time for you.
Okay.
Get your backpack and leave. We'll come back later when you're sober.
Why can't I rent this room?
Because you don't have any money and I don't want you here. You live like shit and you ruined my room. You cost me too much aggravation.
Ramon isn't the only relapsed substance abuser renting out a room. He just happened to be the problem of the day.
The rest of them have left. I had one in there, one on the other side. So when we got here at 10, we start waking them up to get back to wherever they came from, which is the halfway houses that brought them. So they're all gone. They didn't give me a headache.
Delray Beach arguably serves the most concentrated population of recovering drunks and junkies in the U.S. There are more than 40 residential rehabs in the area. Some range from $10,000 a month resort country club style rehabs, and others just small clinics in strip malls. Part of recovery is getting a person outside of the environment which enables drug use. So many of these rehab centers and clinics refer clients to continue treatment in sober or halfway houses. That's where Ramon came from.
And he was drinking in the house with a lot of people that are trying to save their life.
House.
The halfway house. So he's non-compliant with the, you know, the only norm that they set, which is don't use drugs.
A halfway house can be an ordinary apartment or a single-family house where the operators put in place rules like mandatory drug testing, curfews, and use peer pressure to help keep their tenants straight. But one slip-up and you're gone. No one knows for sure how many sober houses there are because they don't need to be licensed. A person can easily decide to turn their home into a halfway house, and they're usually invisible to those casually driving through the community. But I found Richard Jocelyn. He owns and runs five halfway houses with a total of 29 residents. We visit one of them.
An atypical women's halfway house. Lou. Lou. You're the only resident I found at home.
Oh, it's a hell of a job.
So you're getting ready to head out?
To run.
Oh, okay.
I run.
Before heading out for her run, Amanda tells me her story.
I'm 19 years old, and I went to college at Florida State. I can just say things got a little out of hand. Started drinking very heavily. I got arrested a few times. So it was obviously time for a change, which I was not ready for. And I went to rehab and left that. That didn't work out. Drank. Went to another halfway house. That didn't work out. And I drank. And then I got a DUI and I realized it's probably time for some change.
At the time we talked, Amanda had been sober for only 15 days. She says she likes this house better than her previous one, the one she got kicked out of because she relapsed.
I mean, if you don't want to get sober, it's a great place to not get sober. If you want to get sober, it's an even better place, you know?
Delray Beach seems saturated with people on the turbulent road to recovery. Local radio and TV programs talk about the issue, and it even makes for chatter at the coffee shops.
I was in Starbucks yesterday, and I went to the bathroom, and I heard these girls talking about, oh, I'm going to make this meeting my home group, blah, blah, blah. And just everywhere you go, like, there's recovery. And yeah, there's negative people, but, like, you get what you put out, you know? So if you want to get better, there's so many people here, they're so supportive, and it's a really good place to get sober if you want to.
But the city is worried about those who aren't successful with their treatment and the big cost and strain it puts on taxpayers and services. Also, with the growing number of halfway homes not being regulated, some find themselves cheated out of the recovery process because of greedy operators. But despite all those issues, the community in Delray Beach continues to attract and serve as a haven for recovering addicts. We will take a deeper look in part two of this report. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. That was part one of my decade-old investigative series on the recovery capital of America, Delray Beach. At the time, officials seemed very concerned about what they saw as a PR nightmare. No one wanted that label. They wanted to keep their image as a sleepy yet happening beach town. But the lure of paradise in the Sunshine State was too much to resist for those in other parts of the country and the world.
parents send their kids down here to South Florida to get well, not to die.
So what made Del Rey's problem worse? State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg points to a 2008 federal law, the Mental Health Parity Act, and then the Affordable Care Act, which called on insurers to cover substance abusers. It provided broader coverage with little oversight. After all, there is little to no appetite for increases in regulations. Usually, you're hearing deregulation here among Florida's leadership ranks. Anyway, here is Mayor Glickstein.
It is the Wild West. It is completely unregulated.
So now bad actors have figured out a way to profit more by abusing the system, charging insurance companies thousands for tests and other services they never provide. And in some cases, they also abuse the patients by enabling them to stay on drugs to keep the money flowing. Because now the money only flows when you're battling addiction.
Allison Flory of Illinois was lured by the promise of recovery in Florida. She died of an overdose in the very place where she was supposed to be getting help. Her parents, Jennifer Flory and Scott Weber.
It haunts me. She trusted in people that she shouldn't have trusted in, and...
And we told her to trust those people.
Here is part two, the final installment of my series. The city of Delray Beach is known as the drug addiction recovery capital of America.
I think that the big thing about Delray is that this is, first of all, it's a beautiful area of the country.
Choosing to use only her first name, Tiffany is 29 years old. She moved to Delray from Georgia in hopes of getting over her addiction to alcohol and cocaine.
It's very important to have an environment such as this where people can come, recuperate, learn those essential skills, and get closer to a higher power. And I think that's why so many people flock here, is because we're on the beach. We have sunsets and sunrises and palm trees, and the weather is warm, and it's just a very conducive environment for recovery.
Well, it doesn't suck, that's for sure.
The jails are warmer.
Yeah. All right, you see now.
Another first name only is Dominic. He's 43 years old and from New York City. He knows all too well that there is no guarantee of a full recovery wherever you go.
In the past, I have stayed sober in Amsterdam, New Orleans, Vegas, you know, right in the belly of the beast. Okay, so if you want to stay sober, you can stay sober anywhere. There happens to be recovery everywhere. Now, I also was in this monastery up in the Quebec Mountains in Canada. That was a rehab. I got high in it. See what I'm saying? Wherever you go, there you are.
By the way, Dominic started experimenting with weed and alcohol since he was 10 years old and have since pretty much tried everything.
By 15, it was pretty much hallucinogens regularly. You know, mescaline acid, that stuff. 16 was the first time I smoked cocaine. 21 was the first time I tried heroin. By the time I was 28, I found the rooms of recovery.
On this attempt, Dominic has only been sober for about 2 months. City officials in Delray share mixed feelings about being known as the recovery capital. Former Delray Beach City Commissioner and Vice Mayor Brenda Montague.
We have a responsibility to these people as anybody else, as any other group of people who we have to support in their time of need. On the other hand, it does put a tremendous strain on our city's resources.
Montague is worried about all the police pickups, ambulance services, robberies, domestic disputes, overdoses, and suicides that are all falling on the city's tab.
Bottom line is it costs money to deal with all of this.
But Woody McDuffie, current vice mayor of Delray Beach, says he's not seeing anything unusual compared to other communities.
Crime is a problem for all of us. I suppose if we were to be able to come up with some statistics of the people who are housed in these facilities and how much they contribute to the crime of Delray Beach, then I might have another decision to give you tonight. If someone were to tell me that that there's a disproportionate share of crime that come out of these centers, then they would concern me a great deal more than they concern me right now.
Delray Beach police didn't have those statistics on hand. The city has become known as a haven for recovering addicts, a town of regrets and second chances. There is a strong network of support for those who want to get sober, but at the same time, it's a place that can be distracting to those on the long road to recovery. In the case of Billy, who is 40 years old, recovery wasn't on his mind when he moved to Delray.
I didn't come to get sober.
So you came here to...
Drink.
See, you didn't come.
Billy says he was living the South Florida lifestyle, and through working in bars and restaurants, he developed a drinking problem.
So it was after 13 years of living pretty hard and letting my life become unmanageable, I got sober. And I lived in the capital of recovery, so it was easy.
Easy because Billy found someone to help him through the steps of recovery. His neighbor, a person he didn't even like to begin with.
When I decided to detox myself, all my friends didn't take me serious, didn't think that I would do it. And she was the only person that came and checked on me. And I actually was on the verge of suicide, literally had the gun in my mouth, but I decided that I couldn't disappoint her. Because there was one person that would check on me who outreached her hand to me. You know, and that's what you find. You can find the caring and compassionate people. You can find people that are serious about making it.
Billy made it through and is still sober. But his friend, who was battling her own addiction, recently relapsed and is trying to get back on track.
That, you know what, you are going to relapse, but it's what you do with that relapse. Do you go back out for years on end and make your life worse? Or do you fall off the wagon and get right back on it?
State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg has started a task force to tackle these bad actors. They've made 30 or so arrests since October and are calling on federal, state, and local governments to change laws, particularly the Americans with Disabilities Act, to loosen its strict rules. Ehrenberg says instead of a recovery model, it's now a relapse model. So either way, the title of Drug Recovery Capital of America will need to change. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program. With your generous financial support and suggest topics and story ideas, be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.